2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. Remember, it's just received the child, promised, the great woman received the child. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that went out to his father, to the reapers. It was harvest time. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath, nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she sat on an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God, not to Mount Carmel, 20 miles. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Because she would not relate to the servant what she wanted to relate to God. And so she's going to see Elisha, not the servant. And by the way, Gehazi was one. I don't know how Gehazi and Elisha got put together. Because Gehazi was one honorary servant. And when she came to the man of God in the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is vexed within her. The Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire of a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take thy staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he, Elisha, arose and followed her. In other words, I really want you to do this. Elisha followed. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the face of the child. And there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. And I'm thinking, this is still the same day, the evening, the very late evening or early morning of the next day that he finally gets there. It's 20 miles over and 20 miles back on a donkey. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child upon his mouth, and put his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. And she ran to her son and said, oh, I'm so... No, look what she does. She went in and fell at his feet, the man of God representing God, and bowed herself to the ground and took then up her son and went out. I tell you, this woman is a magnificent example of the right mindset. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help me this evening as we look into a marvelous story. A woman who has her spiritual maturity in place. And thank you that, Lord, you have the power to even conquer death. So I'm thankful for the graciousness bestowed upon this woman through Elisha. And I pray that you just bless our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have in your outline there, number 1, you see the meeting with the trial. This is a trial to the lady's soul. Now, this lady is quite involved in Elisha's life. 3 miracles, really. There was the birth of the son, and then there's the raising of the son, and later on there's the restoration of her land. So Elisha, she has called him last time a holy man of God. Now, number 1, there's the season of the meeting. It fell on a day. I like that. It fell on a day. And later on, it fell on a day. And it fell on a day. A certain day. But God's timing can... God's time is exactly when. It's not just some random time. God is still yet in control. It was harvest time, question 1. A time of reaping. Typically, if the harvest is good, it's a joyful time. We would raise potatoes down in McGoffin County. We had a little small black back trailer by the side of a pickup. And if we got that trailer completely overflowing with potatoes, it was a really good potato harvest. Now, we never ate all those. Wait, you saved them for seed potatoes. The rats got some. We gave some away, etc. But my dad liked to cook and give away all kinds of stuff. And so he was a generous person. Harvest time is great. Now, what makes it this a difficult during trial? Number 1, it's a busy time. Isn't a harvest time busy? I remember the year we had worms in our broccoli. And we would put those, we'd blanch the broccoli. And my mom hated to see those worms floating on top of the water. And sometimes you would even find a worm after you thought you had them all out. And one got cooked in there. Anyway, that was not a good time. But it's a busy time, shelling the peas and breaking the beans and if you string the beans, etc. Second thing, it was a hot time, aggravation week. It's hot. It's like when things are hot, it makes you hot under the skin, makes you, sometimes your temper gets a little bit hot as well. But it's a hot time, aggravating trials. And third, a joyous time. So busy, hot, and joyous time. It makes extra painful that she was going to have, this is harvest time, perhaps it was a great harvest, things are going well, and now my son's sick. And now my son's not only sick, he's going to die. And he dies at noon. And so trials do not choose, or perhaps they do choose, or perhaps God lets us get trials when we at least expect it. Things are going well. Things are going on. Trials come. They have a mind of their own, do they not, it seems? So the season of the meeting. Second was the suddenness of the meeting in 19. Suddenness. And said unto her father, my head. He sends her home with a lad during harvest time and sends her home. And he sits on her knee for a little while. And then he passes. What age is he? Well, he's not old enough to work in the harvest. He's young enough to sit on her knee. And so 4 or 5 years old, maybe in that general area. That's how young he was. Trials seldom give us much warning. It frequently comes upon us abruptly, like a fire or a tornado. Now, secondly, what is truly the only way to be prepared for trial is to prepare ahead of time. If I am walking with God this morning and my heart is right with God, the trials come. That doesn't mean the trials are easy, but it means we can, Lord, try help me in this trial. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I tell you, scripture works. You get fretful, you start quoting scripture. That really, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's just the Holy Spirit takes His word and calms us. And so the truth to be prepared is to be prepared ahead of time. Trial, you're walking with God. Third, severity. The severity of the meeting. And when she was, verse 20, he had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees until noon and then died. Now, what do you believe is the death generally attributed of this young man? It was like Reginald Heber who wrote, holy, 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 I think likely sunstroke. I saw Kevin had pretty good, sunburn. I remember Ian and Bo and I went fishing on the James River. It was like a 9 mile just floating down in our kayaks. And I had on the shorts and I had my legs unprotected in the kayak for 9 hours. When I got to the doctor, she said, I have never seen a burn like that. Oh, man, I tell you what, it was the worst burn I have ever. My feet up to my knees were just, and she put this cream on there. I think I even missed a day of work. It was like the worst burn I have ever had. So sunstroke. And so the sun can do quite powerful things. As you well know, it's very common in Palestine to have sunstrokes. And so this young man likely had that. Was God? Yes, God's in control. God knows all about it. He allows that thing to happen in our lives to bring us closer to Him. This death is never trivial, especially when it's a child, especially when she did not even ask for the child. Do you remember? What do you want? Well, I'm pretty much content. She doesn't have a child. Oh, well, but the next year you're going to have a child. And a child was born. So this child was a great source of blessing. It's going to make the trial even harder. Page 2. The selected for the meeting. Why is it especially difficult to readily accept the idea of the Shunammite experiencing such a severe trial? Because she's befriended Elisha. She's had him a prophet's chamber. She has done this. She's been kind. She's fed him for however long. She's honored him. Her husband has honored him. They've been a home, away from home, if you would, of all people to have to go through this. She did not, in our minds, thinking. But can we just sometimes let God be God? And us be us. People are so caught up today in trying to limit God and think that they know more than Him. It's just unimaginably ludicrous to think that you and I can tell God anything. All we do is thank Him. Lord, thank you for saving me, for keeping me, for all these different things You've given to us. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. To surprise you. Won't it? Surprise you what God has done? It will. Francis got that song just right. Now, why did God make this blessing a burden? Was God playing games? 10,000 times no. Is he capricious to simply do this or do that just to see how something... He does a lot of tests into our lives, but he has a purpose every time. There's a reason why he has done these things. There's a reason why Jesus is the only way of salvation. He's thought of them all. And this is the one that's best. It's the one that works. I tire of listening to all, and I probably shouldn't listen to all the people who think they are theologians, and they get on the social media, and I just hear reports of it. You need to be very careful what you start listening to, because there are people who are so caught up in, really, it's heretical, just a little bit here, but really it's teaching heresy, so be careful. Now, why, number two, the manners during the trial. The manners. Well, we find that, what did the excellence of the Shunammite woman's behavior reflect about her? It says in chapter 4, verse 8, that she was great, referred to her wealth, perhaps her position in society. It was John Butler who says here, and commenting on this part of her life, he says, or Edersheim says, in noting all the excellent conduct reported of her in Scripture, she said, would have deserved the title of great had there been the veriest, commonest beggar in the streets of Shunem. In other words, anybody who knew about her was, well, that woman is, she's a classy lady. She has done so much. She's a woman of character. She's a great woman. Her stability, question number, do we see panic in the life of the Shunammite? Do we see her just throwing up her hands and falling on and say, oh no, no. What does she do? She sends for someone. Well, what does she send? We're 22. She called for her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men. Now stop for just a moment. What's going on? It is harvest. Perhaps all the young men are busily working, except for the son. Perhaps all the donkeys are hauling in the hay and everything. So to give to... Well, how does she phrase it? Her called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee. If you be pleased, husband, will you just send me? Can I have one servant, one donkey? I'm really in need. And he says, but... And she says, I'll pray thee, etc. That may run to the man of God and come again. Well, it's not Sunday or a new moon or a Sabbath. Did she tell him what happened? Does she tell him there what happened? What a woman of character. She's not even, I'm just going to do it. Just I'm going to do it. I'm not going to burn him with something else. Maybe we'd handle it differently in our society. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. Her stability. It shall be well. What a test of faith. And she said, it shall be well. Did she believe that Elisha was... Well, wait, just a minute. Who had she heard about in Nain? There's somebody? Elijah? Elijah? Yeah, Elijah brought back the dead. Elijah's next follower right along. Perhaps... Move for her. I'm not sure all that she knew, but she had faith. If you doubt, she had faith. She already knows the God of. She already knows Jehovah. She knows that Elisha knows the God of Jehovah, and she's going to God. She didn't have the Bible to get out and start praying. She's going to the source of God's word, and that was Elisha. Question 8: does stability like that exhibited by the Shunammite come accidentally? Oh, just with its power, she all of a sudden? No, she wasn't prepared. She's throwing up her hands. And by the way, I can't imagine how sorrowful it would have been. I mean, to lose a son after God's given him to you and your only child. And she trusts and keeps going right along. 1,000 times no. It doesn't happen accidentally. She was prepared. Her spirituality. In 25, her spirituality. And so she went and came into the man of God, had come to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that the man of God saw her far off, etc. She went, Gehazi, no, I want Elisha. I want to hear from God. I don't want you, Gehazi. Maybe she saw under Gehazi's real character. I'm not sure. I want Elisha. Now, where did she turn? She turned in page 3. She turned to Christ. If you want to turn to the Messiah, turn to God. Turn to God's man. Is a response typical of all people? I would say absolutely not. A lot of people in trial turn to drink or drugs or some other mechanism. And her steadfastness. Now, those 5 situations which would put most of us over into the slough of despond and cause us to throw in the towel and call it quits. Number 1 was the death of a child. That's strong enough to send some people really discouraged. 2 is the distance to Elisha, 20 miles, 5 to 6 hours one way.
So noon, 6 hours, she gets there maybe by 6 p.m., meet with Elisha, head back. She's not getting home till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. What a trip. What a day.
I can't do that.
She did. The duties of the servants and animals. What was it like that she had to ask her husband for possibly a very special favor to have a servant and a donkey to go to take her to Elisha without telling him everything? And they had, what a wonderful relationship that they had. He trusted her that much. And she asked him about that. Please. And this courtesy of Gehazi in 27. Gehazi is getting ready to come over there and thrust her away. Elisha saves the day. That would discourage me when someone who's supposed to be on my side is acting like that. He wants to thrust her away. I just want to see Elisha. Oh, don't get away. But remember the disciples keep away from it. Don't bring the children and don't bring the sick and keep that one back and let's call fire down upon them. You know, that was instead of, and the Lord was always, isn't the Lord just amazing? He always, every time, stopped to listen, to heal, every time. And there's a deputizing to Gehazi. Now, why are you sending him and not going yourself? I didn't know that he was also your ability or in tune with God. Interesting, Hillis says that there was communication but not communion between Elisha and Gehazi. Now remember, what's the last thing Gehazi does? Think back as we go forward. What's the last time we know of Gehazi? I think. Took the money. Exactly. He's leprous because he lied. He deceived. He wanted money more than anything else. I think later, he may come up later on, but the major thing we know about Gehazi is the leprosy that Naaman had is going to cling to you. And not only, if I'm not mistaken, was it all his descendants? To you and your descendants. So he is a man, maybe he's in it for the money. I don't know. But we do know he was in it for the money. That's what he really wanted in some ways. Now, why was Gehazi, at question 11, told to salute no man? It's already 6 in the evening. I can you imagine? I'm not trying to bust on us men, but sometimes men, and I've met some men that could, man, they could just, they talk long after I'm listening. And can you imagine the first guy comes along and sit down and have a glass of water. I think I will. And 3 hours later, they walk on. He goes another mile. Oh, yes, how are you, sir? Don't do that. Focus on what you're doing. Get to the sun. Don't stop for any reason. Go. It's an urgent journey. Perhaps Elisha thought that he was just really sick. And the sooner he got there, the more chance of being healed. Now, what signal was sent concerning Elisha going to Shunem when he sent Gehazi with his staff? And there's different ideas about this. I think the staff, because the staff didn't heal, that was to say that really it's God that heals. A necromancer, you know, in the evil world, necromancer is someone who works the dead. And so they sometimes would take possibly a necromancer's staff had been endued with some kind of erroneous black power or evil power and some kind of wrong. That's not going to happen. So we find that Elisha is going to come. God is going to heal the son. So there's no real, other than perhaps, I'm not sure. You can study for yourself what the staff meant. I think, in my thinking, it's best to think of it as simply that the staff doesn't heal. It is God that heals. And so we'll just leave it at that. The last page, her submissiveness. Number one, she respected position. She maintained her proper position of submissiveness as she goes with Elisha, goes with her. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed on, etc. She respected privacy. In 33, he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Now, how many of you parents, your child is dead, and someone's come there to heal them. I will. What's she doing? Are you sure? Are you about to do that? Now, Mr. Wright, just step back here. I am the physician. Okay, I know you are, but it's my son. Can you step out? Step out? It's my son. But do you see what she does? And not only that, it's not a door with a window. Closes the door.
I'm telling you, you talk about a woman of faith. Matter of fact, I'll just read it myself. Hebrews 11:35. We're going to see it Sunday. Hebrews 11:35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Hall of Fame of Faith. Elijah, Elisha, Old Testament. She was a person of faith. How many of us would have been able to stay out, question 14, in that room with our child? Probably zero of us. Do you think show our faith as well as our submission? You want to trust in God, then be submissive to what He's told you to do. Your sin, and He convicts you, you confess it. Oh, but the Lord, are you sure? No, it's, you're right, Lord. It's me. I confess. Then there was a miracle in the trial. And the perspective from the miracle to what can we turn in difficult times to get a correct perspective on the situation of life. It is right here. It's God's Word. This is perspective we need. Psalms. I just started reading the Psalms part of my, I have to be honest with you, what I read, I'm reading my Bible through, and I'm getting through all the books that I struggle with. So I got through all the old, I got through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ecclesiastes, all the minor prophets, and I've gone now to 1 Chronicles. So I'm getting through those books. I'm saving like Genesis, like, you know, and then all most of the New Testament from now on. We'll say the rest of the New Testament probably and save that for later on. So it's delayed gratification. All the Bible is equally inspired. Amen. But some of the Bible helps us more than others. And so but they're just all equally important. And I just read through, by the way, I'm reading in 1 Chronicles, the lineage of our Savior. How important is that? It's got the lineage of mankind from the beginning. You want to know where we came from and how old the earth is, simply read the Bible's clear-cut testimony of the genealogy of history. All right, 4 minutes. The perspective from the miracle. Secondly, is the praying before the miracle. 33. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Now I will tell you, that's not a modern method of healing. Can you imagine a doctor doing that today? Whoa, with all the things last year, can't he probably get that on math? Don't he couldn't get close to the patient by then? But God's ways are not our ways. And there weren't hospitals back then. So he prayed, number one, alone. 43, prayed alone. True prayer does not promote pride and self-glory. It's not like we're here to... When you pray in public, which we're not here to braggadocio. We're here to get up to God. That's why we're here. To talk to God, not to toot our own horn or have our own plaudits. Secondly, he prayed ardently. He prayed ardently. He went up, he prayed, stretched himself upon the child, lay upon the child, etc. And returned, walked in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon the child, etc. He was an ardent prayer. Elisha was one that walked with God already. Isn't it interesting that when she comes in 27, the Lord hid it from me and hath not told me. That was quite unusual because usually the Lord and I are just right on the same page. And for some reason, He's not told me why you're here exactly. Can you imagine a relationship with God like that? That you're so close to God, walking with God in such a way, that God just, like, day by day, here's what I've got for you. Here's what I want you to do. Well, Lord, can you imagine that? I think it's with a little bit, see Austin Miles, and he walks with me, talks with me, tells me I'm one of his own. Whether you're in a garden or in your closet or in your car, that's the goal. In our Christian walk, to have such a walk. And then we have the title of tonight's lesson, Seven Sneezes and a Blessed Youth. A Blessed Youth. Seven Sneezes and a Blessed Youth. And so that's the title for tonight, the praise and the miracle. And he called Gehazi. He sneezes seven times. By the way, can you tell me how many times sneezes are mentioned in the Bible? Once. It's right here. Seven sneezes. The only time sneezing is mentioned in the Bible. By the way, your heart does do a moment of blood flow, goes really low, and it does an extra beat, like a different beat for that one time. The electrical part of your heart continues working on, but when you sneeze, your heart doesn't completely stop, but it does do a little extra beat kind of thing because of the blood flow, so be careful. I guess if you sneeze a lot, my wife asked me, it might make your heart or chest hurt because the blood flows over and over and over, stopped her, a little jiggle there, a little jiggle there with the heart thing. Just sneeze seven times. Praise for the miracle. I'm sorry, I'm making you laugh. But that's a little jiggle of the heart there when it happens. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he came, and so he called her. And when she was coming to the room, he said, take up thy son. Can you imagine? She probably raised her voice. Woo-hoo! Well, maybe she didn't. But we know she did first. She thanked God. First thing she did, God, I just want. And she got on her knee. A lady like this, of such influence, got on her, what does the Bible say? Fell at his feet and bowed. Remember, Elisha's representing God. First thing, thank you, God. And then got her child. And if you ever go out in that sun again with that hat on, I'll tell you, I'm going to skin you with an inch of your life, young man. Oh, but I'm so glad you're here. Woo, thank you, Lord. Have you ever done that, parents? After you tell them what you're going to do, and then, oh, I'm glad you're safe, though. You know, that's a parent. I wonder what God was like when the son comes home. Psalm 24 will tell you. It's like knocking on the gates. Who is the King of Glory? It's King of Glory. Let me in. And can you imagine the angels when he comes back? It is finished. Our redemption has been completely paid for. He is raised from the dead. The Father has said, well done. And your price is good for eternity for all those who receive me. Good for the world, I believe. If they'll come. Wow. Amazing. This lady, I tell you, in Scripture, doesn't get much print time. Amazing faith. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the healing of this young boy. Don't even know his name. Don't have to. Don't even know the lady's name. Shunammite lady, that's all we know. But Lord, she was a woman of faith, extreme spiritual maturity, extreme trust. Elisha, the man of God, was used by you to even bring life back. Lord, I'm thankful for even more than that eternal life you give to us, even in this era, if we will trust you. So Lord, bless us as we go the rest of this week. May our lives emulate and be what a Christian should be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.